I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast, episode number 149, are Eric Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
And Don Donfris.
How's everybody doing?
Now, tonight on the Diz Dad's podcast, we're going to be talking about Walt Disney World romance. You might notice the panel is one short. I'd make a joke about, you know, only being able to find three of us, but it might hit a little too close to home. So instead, I'm going to take a minute and thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. The next time you're looking to take a family vacation or a romantic couples-only vacation to a Disney destination, say Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, maybe even another romantic destination, a Fairy Tale Journeys travel agent would love to help you out. You can check out their website at fairytalejourneys.com, and a Fairy Tale Journeys agent would love to help you plan that next vacation. Okay, guys, so Walt Disney World romance. You know, everybody thinks of Walt Disney World as a kid destination. And I think that that's an unfair characterization. I think that there are some unique opportunities at Walt Disney World, specifically for couples looking for a night out.
Or even a whole vacation out, as you alluded to before.
That's true. We've done entire trip report shows about adults-only vacation time, both on the cruise line and at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, my wife and I, we went like 10 times before we actually had a child to Disney. So,
so Don is well-practiced at the Walt Disney World romance, having made several trips to Walt Disney World sans children. So the point here really is that we want to try and draw your attention to some of those things that you can do that are kind of special romantic experiences. We're going to talk about romantic dining, but you know that's a category in and of itself. We also want to talk about experiences, things you can do that don't involve what we normally think of as, you know, a romantic dinner. So why don't we start there and start with some of these romantic experiences, things that you wouldn't maybe normally think of when you're trying to come up with an idea for maybe a trip that happens to fall over Valentine's Day weekend or something like that. So, Eric, what's an idea you have to share with us about a romantic experience at Walt Disney World?
Well, I think as you were talking about sort of timing, I mean, one of the great times to go to Walt Disney World, if you are an adult, is for the Food and Wine Festival. I know it gets crazy at times over the weekends, but you are there at a time when you can try all the different things. It's like a little, you know, trip to a bunch of different cultures all at once. You get to try food. I know we're not talking about dining yet, but this isn't dining. This is hitting a bunch of booths as you walk around World Showcase. It's a way to try a lot of different things. It's a fun atmosphere. And as always, since you're heading around World Showcase, La Cava del Tequila is right there. So you can always duck in there and get out of the heat and the crowds. There may still be a crowd in there, but still, if you're planning a trip, I think this is a nice time to go. If you're just going as a couple, it's during the school year. So, you know, if you can leave the kids in school and take your own trip down, it's, I think, like I said, a great time to go for couples.
Well, and that's a good point. Is it, you know, it's a whole experience and it's not just a meal. There are ways that you can experience the Food and Wine Festival as just adults that is difficult to do when you've got the kids with you. And I think that's
exactly.
The
kids are not going to sit through a seminar on, you know, cooking with, you know, chocolate. But it might be fun for, you know, the two of you to head in and see, you know, a famous chef prepare a meal, sit there and, you know, think about ways that you can take that back home with you.
Sure, sure. All right. So, Don, your turn. What's a romantic experience that, you know, Not your normal sit down romantic dinner, but a romantic experience at Walt Disney World.
Something that we always kind of enjoyed was going to the Wilderness Lodge. Going to the lounge over there. You can have a couple cocktails in the lounge and the Territory Lounge. And you can walk the grounds outside. You have the waterfalls. You have the grounds. I mean, kind of, you don't feel like you're at Disney whatsoever. And and then there's a lot of little quiet spots around there where you can just kind of walk around or hang around and just have a nice quiet evening. And you don't have to be with a lot of other things. You can just be by yourselves, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example of, you know, people often think of the hustle and bustle of Walt Disney World, but when you look for them, you can find those kind of quiet, out-of-the-way opportunities. And Wilderness Lodge is a great example of that, particularly the area of the ground. You know, you've got that whole trail even that leads between Fort Wilderness and the Wilderness Lodge. And it's, you know, wooded and a little quiet, and it tends not to be crowded and not have a lot of people around. That's a great example.
Yeah, I mean, you can hang around by the geyser, take that in, that little show. Usually, especially, we tend to like to go off season, so it's a little cooler out, so there's not a lot of people around the pool, and that whole area becomes kind of quiet, and it's usually a very nice, relaxing, quiet evening.
All right. Well, that sounds great. You know, I'm going to suggest another one that sort of, you know, kind of is on the edge of being a dining experience. It's not quite. And this is one I'm probably stealing it from Eric because he's the one who got me to try it. But on our last trip, my wife and I finally got to do the wine tasting at GECO. And one of the nice things about it is that it's kind of the beginning to a romantic evening, or can be, because it's kind of in the late afternoon. It's at about, 3 or 4 o'clock. And it's just, you're with other adults, so you're not by yourself completely, but it's a very relaxed, laid back atmosphere. You're encouraged to really concentrate on your senses. And so from that perspective, it makes it, you know, a sensual experience, because you really focused on those things, you're trying different wines, trying different cheeses, trying the various accompaniments. And it's just a nice time to escape a little bit, because obviously it's a wine tasting. There aren't kids around hardly at all. And we really enjoyed that. And it was a nice quiet time. And it's one of the kinds of things that you can do even to just escape for an hour. You know, if you can't do a whole trip without the kids with you, you can go and do this for an hour, hour and a half, and get some quiet alone time. And it doesn't have to be the whole trip. All right. So, Eric, do you have another romantic experience suggestion for us?
Sure. One of the things that may, you know, strike some guys as not, you know, a manly experience is going to one of the spas. But let me tell you, for a romantic experience, you know, going in there and either doing just, you know, each of you go do your own thing, or if you really want to head right on the romantic track, you do one of the couples massages at one of the various spas around there. The spa at the Grand Floridian is great. There's another spa set up over at Saratoga Springs that's pretty expansive. But also at the Dolphin, they have the Mandara Spa, which is, I think, one of the most sort of intimate and relaxing places to get these things done. Let me tell you, and after, you know, 50 or 80 minutes of, you know, getting a massage and being in there with your spouse, you know, kind of at the end, they, you know, wrap everything up and leave you, you know, you're at two tables basically getting a massage. So they leave you, they, you know, kind of put your hands together. So you're holding hands at the very end. It's just really sweet, and, you know, you're relaxed, you're really chilled out. One or both of you may have fallen asleep during the time, but it, you know, it's kind of, you can, you know, kind of hear the other person, you know, relaxing. You know, you can, yeah, if you're on the ball, if you're not falling asleep, you can sort of pay attention to, you know, what the massage therapist is doing. And maybe you can, you know, think about what their interaction with your spouse is, so that, you know, if you're the kind of folks who, you know, give each other back rubs, you might you know, pick up some tips, basically, from the communication between the therapist and your spouse. So, so yeah, that's something I would suggest. It can be, you know, pricey, but like I said, it's very relaxing. And if you're on vacation and want a romantic twist on it, it's the couples massage, I think, is great.
Yeah. And the Grand Floridian Spa just got a complete renovation during the construction of the new Grand Floridian Villas. So I imagine it's really nice there now. I haven't been in there since they did the renovations, but have to imagine that they, you know, pulled out all the stops to do it right. All right, Don, do you have another experience suggestion for us?
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a combination thing.
Okay.
Something that we've done as well in the past is catch a late meal at one of the nicer places in Epcot. And you do it at the end, toward the end of the evening. Then right after the meal, you catch the fireworks, you know, illuminations. And you'd really take your time coming out of there. And as the place is emptying out, you can just have a very nice, quiet walk out. I mean, you know, we tend to be back toward the back end and kind of wait about a half hour or so before let most of the crowd clear out. And you can just take your time because nobody rushes you out of there. And just, it's so quiet at, you know, after the big rush is gone, and you can have this quiet, romantic, and you feel like you're almost by yourselves back there. And just take a nice leisurely walk out, and with all the lights still going on and everything like that, it's usually pretty cool, you know. And you kind of miss that whole big hustle and bustle getting out of there, and, you know, you get to kind of take it in very quietly, you know. It's very nice.
Yeah, and that's another great example of taking the opportunity to find some sort of quiet, serene, alone time in the midst of the crazy crowds of Walt Disney World, because you're right. I mean, you wait 20 minutes, half an hour, and the vast majority of that crowd has moved out, and, you know, you get this great romantic walk through a quiet, darkened, but, you know, beautifully lit World Showcase.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast it clears out, and there's very few people hang around. And, you know, we've taken as much as 40, 45 minutes walking out of there like that. You know, we just kind of take our time, stop, you know, maybe take some pictures here or there and just relax coming out of there. And by the time we get up front, there's almost nobody there. And it's just been this, you know, nice, relaxing little walk to the front. So,
yeah.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, along similar lines, I'd been thinking initially about, you know, the idea of one of the fireworks cruises as a sort of, you know, romantic experience. And the problem with that is it can be, but, you know, you're stuck on a boat with 10 other people. So the romance of it kind of can get lost in the jostling of a bunch of other people being around, and the serenity of the experience gets lost. But a great alternative, and, you know, what makes it even better is that it doesn't cost you a dime, is to find a quiet spot on the beach, especially around the Poly, and watch the Wishes fireworks from the beach at the Poly. Unless you're there during the busiest parts of the year, you can usually find a quiet spot along the beach. You don't have to be staying at the Poly to do it. And You get a nice view of the fireworks. Again, you find a little serenity, a little quiet among the craziness of Disney World, but, you know, separated from it just a little bit. And, you know, the Poly Beach is still one of my wife and I's favorite places to watch those fireworks, just because you do get that, you know, quieter, more intimate feeling while you're watching them than when you're in amidst the crush of people on Main Street.
Yep.
All right. Well, does anybody else have experiences that we're leaving out here that we ought to consider? Eric, do you have another one for us?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking back to when my wife and I were dating. We came down to Walt Disney World for a wedding. This was long before we were the kind of Disney fans we are now. But you know, a couple of things stood out from that trip. The first thing is, this was back before they had Magical Express. So we'd bought a transfer on a Mirror shuttle from the airport over to Walt Disney World. However, we got out there and, the Mirrors guy comes over to us and says, "Would you guys like to see that limo over there instead of riding the bus?" And, you know, we had to sit and talk about it for 45 nanoseconds or so before going with that option. But, you know, Magical Express is free now, but if you're on a couples only trip and, you want to get a bit of a more Magical Express, you might look into one of those car services, you know, something that is a little more sedate, a little more private, a little more intimate. And, you know, you could, you know, do just a regular sedan service or get a limo. I mean, it's not a long trip, but, it does get you there in style.
That's right.
And the other thing that I remember from that trip is just going out for a late night swim out the quiet pool at the resort where we were staying. And that was just not nice. I mean, there weren't a lot of other people around.
Right.
But, you know, the moonlight, the water, just a really nice, really romantic swim after dark.
Yeah, both good ideas. And, you know, the nice thing about something like that limo ride is that it's something that, yeah, it's a little expensive, but really in the context of what you're spending at Disney World, not so bad. And it's the kind of thing that you can kind of pull out of the bag as a surprise that, you know, gets you a little brownie points before you even get to the resort, right?
Sure.
Yep.
All right. So, Don, any other suggestions for us?
The only other one, I guess, is, I mean, another kind of our one of our favorite places is Port Orleans French Quarter. And if you haven't been there, the grounds there are really nice at night. And, you know, it's kind of small and it's nice. When they used to have the bar there, that was nice. You can grab a cocktail and then go out and walk on the grounds and stuff like that. But even now, even still, you can, you know, the way it's set up back there is kind of like actual streets in the French Quarter. So from New Orleans, so, you know, you kind of feel like you're walking down these little streets, and you can also walk around along the river back there and have a nice little walk down there. And you can also take a free boat ride down the river to Downtown Disney as well. So that's always nice as well.
Yeah, and that is a really nice boat ride. We took that for the first time this last trip, and it does tend to be a nice kind of relaxing, quiet ride. And, you know, along similar lines, I just think in general there are some great opportunities to, you know, without spending a dime, enjoy that kind of, you know, romantic getaway at Walt Disney World. And what you were talking about walking the grounds at French Quarter is a good example of it. The beach at the Poly we talked about. Any of the resorts, there are nice places to walk around. Even, you know, you're staying at Pop Century. There's a nice walk along around the lake there that's nice, and the generation gap bridge.
Yeah.
You know, with Art of Animation across the way, there's some more dramatic lighting there now. It's even nicer than it used to be. You know, there's a place where you can kind of get a nice, you know, away from the crowd, serene getaway just about anywhere on property. You just have to be willing to take a minute to find it and, you know, take the time out to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's kind of what we like to do, and we tend to be late night people, so it's all the more quiet usually. So, so that's always our little thing.
Sure. All right. Well, any experiences that we need to make sure we talk about before we move on to a few dining examples?
I'm sure there's something that we're missing, but offhand, I don't have it.
I mean, pretty much anything. I mean, you just have to kind of take advantage of, you know, being away from home, you know, being on vacation, hopefully not getting calls or calling work. You know, it's a time when you should have some time to just kind of focus on each other. So really that's the big thing, is that anything can be a romantic experience if you're sharing it together. I mean, that's, I think, what it boils down to. And depending on what kind of couple you are, depending on what you like to do, those sorts of romantic engagements can happen at different places for different people. It just kind of comes down to knowing what kind of folks you are.
Well, sure. And you know, to that end, we should mention that you know, there are kids clubs that offer really great opportunities. If you do need to, you know, if you're on a trip with your kids, you know, use the kids clubs at the deluxe resorts. Animal Kingdom Lodge has one. The Polynesian has one, although you got to call ahead and make sure they're open, because with the renovations at the Poly, the kids club there is going to have a closure here at some point and be closed for a while. But you know, there's a kids club at Animal Kingdom Lodge that's excellent. You know, take advantage of those opportunities. The Swan and Dolphin, the kids club at the Swan and Dolphin has a great deal worked out with the restaurants at the Swan and Dolphin. And maybe this is a good transition to talking about romantic dinners. But, you know, if you choose one of the restaurants at Swan and Dolphin, like Blue Zoo or Il Molino, to have a romantic dinner, they include, I believe it's either 2 or 3 hours of their kids club for free. And you just have to show your receipt from dinner. So, you know, that can be a way to facilitate getting to have some of that alone time, even when you're traveling with the kids.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Same thing goes for, services like Kids Night Out.
Sure.
Which, you can have in-room babysitting, even if your kids are too young. But I think, you know, what you're saying is, you know, mark out time for yourself and your spouse, even when you're there with kids. Make sure you've, you know, made a date night and let your spouse know that that is important to you, to have that time. And that, I think, is a very romantic gesture.
Yeah, I agree.
So
let's go ahead and you know, talk about a few of our favorite, you know, romantic dinner destinations. You know, when you've got an opportunity to choose, you know, this is the place you want to go for your that night out. I mean, you're traveling. Let's use the example of you're traveling with the kids, and you know, you're going to get one night out. Where do you want to spend that night? So, Eric, what's your first choice of you know, a dining destination for date night out, or a romantic destination?
Yeah, it's got to be Victoria and Albert's, but more specifically, it's Victoria and Albert's in the Queen Victoria Room, which is a little room off to the side, off of the main dining room. They serve basically the same menu that you get at the chef's table, so you're dealing with like 10 courses worth of food. You can do a wine pairing there. You get a pair of servers, one male server, one female server. They no longer go by the monikers Victoria and Albert, but they actually give their real names now. But in the past, they did it that other way. and it's only four tables. There's a fireplace in there. You're separated enough from the other people that it will seem like you've got all the space in the world after you've been in any other dining room on Walt Disney World property. You know, you'll have a little stool for the lady's handbag. So
right. Even the purse gets its own chair.
Exactly. It's just very, very quiet, intimate location. You're getting the same great food. I know the chef's table gets a lot of the buzz, but I think there's something to be said for being away from the hustle and bustle of the kitchen. And just being able to have them bring you food. They prepare some of the dishes table side. If you want to, you can do a wine pairing as well. And they have excellent wines there. And with 10 courses, that's a lot of wine. So you can even split it. And, number one, get off cheaper. And also, you're sharing a glass of wine, so you can make that a bit of a romantic experience as well.
Sure, that's a great suggestion. And I think that's a good point that you mentioned, that the chef's table gets all the buzz, but for a romantic experience as opposed to just a foodie experience, the Queen Victoria room makes a lot of sense because it is quieter and you're not, kind of in the middle of the hustle and bustle so much. It's a little easier to have a conversation when, you're not within earshot of the pots and pans.
It is, I think, the only dining room on all of property that lets you have, a quiet conversation. You don't have to raise your voice at all to be heard. So, it's just an amazing experience, I think, and one of the most romantic ones you can have.
All right.
At Walt Disney World.
So, Don, what's your pick for a romantic dinner out?
Citricos. I love the area over there. And then, again, once you're done with dinner, you're right on the – you can be – if you time it right, you're right on the beach. You could be right on the beach, see the fireworks. So that's always a nice one for us.
Okay. I think that my first choice is probably California Grill for a similar reason. We love fireworks. We're big fans of fireworks. And California Grill, even if you're not – and actually, my preference is to eat at California Grill a little bit earlier in the evening because I think that the most impressive view from the restaurant itself is not the fireworks view but the view of sunset over the park. It's absolutely gorgeous. Especially if you can get one of those tables that's kind of near the windows, being there as the sun goes down over the park, was just a beautiful experience. It's heightens the romance because you're just kind of drinking in that gorgeous scene. And then the best part of it is that, you finish your meal a little earlier, you can leave, go walk around a little bit, walk around the Contemporary or even hop the monorail and, check out other resorts along the monorail. And then if you keep your receipt, they'll let you come back up to California Grill and go out to the observation deck to watch the fireworks when you come back at, 9 o'clock or so to see the fireworks. So it's kind of the best of both ends of the evening. You can kind of start and end the evening there.
And very nice.
That's a great combination.
Very nice.
All right. Let's one more round of romantic restaurant. Eric, what's your next choice for a romantic restaurant? If you can't get in at Victoria and Albert's because there's only four tables there in the Queen Victoria room, what's up next?
Now, I did want to go back just a second and say for both Victoria and Albert's and Citrico's, a nice thing is you've got the band that plays right outside of Misner's Lounge and right outside of the restaurant area. So if you're just over in that area, having a drink at Misner's and listening to the band there, that's a really, really nice experience. But for a restaurant, I'm going to go at the total other end of the resort and go over to Jiko. I think that you know, you're not going to have a great view from GECO like you would at, you know, say Citrico's or California Grill, but the interior of the restaurant is just so nice and so beautiful, and they've done so much with that environment inside the restaurant that it is, I think, one of the nicer, you know, interiors of any restaurant at Walt Disney World, and they've just put a lot of effort into making that space warm, inviting, cozy, and they do some nice things with the lighting as the evening progresses inside. So they've really put a lot of thought into making it a just a lovely place to have dinner. Couple that with the great list of South African wines we talked about before, the wine tasting. If you've been to that and want to, you know, sample more of a bottle that you found that you like, it's in there. They have just a huge selection of South African wines there. In fact, last time we were down at Walt Disney World for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, my wife and I and a couple of our friends went and had dinner there. So, you know, two couples having dinner there in the wine room. So that's another nice place if you're somebody who likes wine a lot, then, you know, that's an added bonus, I think. But,
interesting. And is that something you were able to reserve in advance?
Nope, it just by happenstance. Okay. I think you can probably ask at the desk, or maybe just put it on as a special request on your reservation. But I think when we ate there, it was actually just opening up, so we were one of the first, you know, parties who were sat back there. So
very cool.
We're seated back there. Yeah.
All right. Don, do you have another romantic dining suggestion?
Yeah. Getting back to one of our favorite resorts, the Wilderness Lodge, Artist Point. It's kind of off in the corner a little bit, very quiet, excellent food. And then you could get back to where I was talking about, and you can walk the grounds and really have a nice evening of it with that. So... that's okay. One of our favorites.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to actually suggest someplace, maybe a little different take, but we talked mostly about sort of high-end dining options. I think sometimes, you know, you can make a really romantic meal out of a less expensive option and not necessarily so much be focused on the restaurant location, but... sort of where you are afterwards. So to that end, I'm going to suggest that one option is we really enjoy, and I'm going to take us back to Epcot, just sort of, you know, walking slowly through World Showcase and, you know, making a meal out of, you know, snacks here and there. It's not so much the dinner out. Maybe it's better as an afternoon, especially maybe when it's not quite so hot. But, you know, the opportunity to kind of stroll and talk as you snack back and forth on different favorites, it just kind of makes it a whole experience. And it's a nice way to kind of get away when you can. You know, you don't have to spend a couple hundred dollars to enjoy each other's company, enjoy some good food, enjoy things that you like. And I think that Epcot and World Showcase is a great place to do that because there are so many nice little sort of, you know, beautiful hidden nooks and crannies. Walking around back in Morocco and in some of the gardens and, all of those areas. Just kind of places to escape, and even when it is crowded, you can find some of those more out of the way areas to just kind of wander around in, and it's a great experience.
Totally agree. It's definitely one of our favorite things to do as well. Just love hanging around there.
And if you do want to duck in out of the heat and you have a seat for a while, the wine bar in Italy, Tutto Gusto, is a really nice romantic spot for that. as you're making your way around World Showcase.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there are a few of those now, because you've got Tudo Gusto there. You mentioned earlier La Cava del Tequila, which is also kind of a nice intimate space, good air conditioning. Can get a little crowded there, but it's meant to feel kind of cozy. And then I think that there's a decent chance that the new sort of waterside dining that they're in the process of building at the Morocco Pavilion, Spice Road Table, I think stands a good chance of having some of that atmosphere as well. Because of its the style of food it's going to be doing. It's sort of a small plates kind of thing, the sharing food back and forth and that kind of thing right on the lagoon.
Yep.
All right. Well, any other places that people should seriously consider when they're looking at wanting to do a romantic dinner out? I mean, we talked a little bit about taking advantage of Swan and Dolphin. I don't know, Eric, if you're going to do the Swan and Dolphin thing with the free babysitting, is there one of those restaurants that you would recommend as the the one to choose?
I mean, the only thing I'd say is that they, at least from my experience, they don't get as crowded as sort of the Disney restaurants, either Il Molino or Blue Zoo or Shula's, I guess. But I think Il Molino is kind of a nice, laid back, comfort food type of place. So if that strikes your fancy, I think that's a good pick. But of course, if you want, if your idea of romance involves a 48-ounce steak, then Shula's is a place for you.
Well, and I ask because I always find the menu at Blue Zoo really intriguing, but I don't know that the atmosphere there if romance is really the atmosphere there.
Yeah, it seems a little jumpy to me, if that makes any sense. But
yeah. It's open. It's sort of a little bit more high energy atmosphere than if you were looking for something romantic. You're going to get more of the romantic lighting, quieter setting at Il Molino than you are at Blue Zoo.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And but if you're a couple who likes sort of that high energy, then by all means, that may be the place for you. There are plenty of restaurants around Walt Disney World, but there seems to be something for everybody. And it's the same thing as I said before. It's like if you know what you as a couple like, then you can sort of tailor this experience. And the important thing is just to carve out the time to do it.
Yeah, and I would add to that to make it uniquely your own experience. This is a great opportunity to go and do eat at a restaurant your kids would never put up with. Right? I mean, go somewhere that's got things that you want to enjoy. And if that means that you want to go to, Raglan Road and, with the dancers and the loud and all that, that's romantic for you if that's an experience that you can enjoy that your kids would enjoy. And if it's something that you can do together that makes it, a special, unique getaway for yourselves, then it's a romantic destination and worth your time and energy and effort.
Definitely. I mean, there's different places all over. I mean, you could probably find something certainly in every park. I mean, if you want a quiet place to go to, Brown Derby in the MGM, or you can do I'm not sure in the Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom can be tricky, but I'll tell you that Columbia Harbor House, and if it's not during the busiest times of the year, you can go there, take your food upstairs, sit at one of the tables that looks out the window over Haunted Mansion.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds that sounds good, even, as you say that. No, I mean, there's you know, I was thinking about some other things, you know, and I'm thinking, well, let's see, Animal Kingdom. But Animal Kingdom, if they go to this, where they're going to be looking at opening up in the evenings, and having some of the nighttime shows, I could totally see the flaming.
Oh, Flame Tree.
Flame Tree. That even being, even though it's just counter service, but the way the seating is out back, and if they're doing some of those, they're talking about having a show or something out on the river on the bay. Right. You know, I mean, that could be a pretty cool experience. I mean, it's cool and quiet there during the day. Even you imagine in the evening, nice evening in the, you know, in the fall and stuff like that, going out there having a meal and watching a show on the river, and you know, I could see that being pretty cool.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately you can find something, as we were saying, you know, anywhere. And I guess, you know, Eric is the one who I think drove the point home is, you know, wherever it is, just do yourself a favor. You know, find that time and find that place.
Yeah.
And it's you know, more than the time or the place, it's, you know, making the connection and, you know, making the effort. I think that is sort of the most romantic part of it. Although, you know, a nice dinner never hurts, right? So being the sort of people we are on this podcast, you know, food is never far away from our thoughts. But.
No. Or, you know, a nice glass of wine or margarita either.
Can't turn those down.
All right. Well, you've heard our suggestions for, you know, places to enjoy romance at Walt Disney World. We'd love to hear your suggestions, too. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And now, you can even check out our Facebook page. That's right, the podcast has its own Facebook page at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Hope to see you there. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster, and tonight joining me have been Eric Anderson.
See you later, everybody.
And Don Donfris.
Good night, everybody.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
This has been a Wizard of Oz production.